welcome to the LMA podcast, featuring thought-provoking conversations with legal marketing and business experts. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hello, you are listening to the Strategies Live podcast, where we look at issues affecting legal marketers and the work we do. A warm welcome to those of you who are tuning in for the first time. My name is Julie Holton. I'm the founder and principal strategist of M Connections Marketing Agency. This podcast series coincides with the content that's featured inside each issue of Strategies Magazine. The September-October issue is all about advocacy, advocating for yourself, for your career, and for the legal marketing industry. A special thank you to the issue's sponsors, FirmSeek, Kid Aiken, and Vivid Graphics. As you can imagine, when my Strategies issue co-editor Nancy Stein and I began planning this issue in February, we had a bit of a different focus. COVID-19 threw all of us and ended up having a big impact on the articles we chose to share. But it wasn't the only major event impacting our issue. The killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and the protests that followed have led to a pivotal time for the United States. Diversity, equity, and inclusion have been modern-day buzzwords that now are changing law firm practices. I'm joined today by Gia Altrecci and Dr. Laura Queros. Gia is the Director of Business Development and Marketing at Neumeyer Dillion, and Laura is a trauma-informed diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant at Costin Consulting. Thank you both so much for your time today and for your leadership on this issue. Diversity is subjective, so let's first start our conversation by defining diversity versus an inclusive culture versus equity. Gia, let's start with you.
Sure. I really think it's important for us to define diversity when you're thinking about building the framework. And when we think about diversity, it's more a quantitative push. It's an opportunity to bring in people, primarily Black and brown bodies, into and those that may be different than the environment that is currently laid out, in a way to check the box, check the numbers. And we've seen this switch in more of how do we create spaces for everyone to thrive. And that's where I think the inclusion standpoint has really gained momentum in an area that I'm very focused in on, which is let's get away from just the numbers game and let's focus in on the space where we're including everyone, including the white males, including, you know, everyone has a seat at the table, and we're being very thoughtful around how we set the table so every chair is positioned appropriately, that every place has a place card, and that we've really thoughtfully thought through that person that's going to be sitting there and their particular experience. But even as we continue to widen that lens, what we have seen is that there are very few talking about the big elephant in the room. And I think that E is for equity. And this is where I think there's some serious work that needs to happen and how we advance and very strategically and thoughtfully advance those in underrepresented groups.
Laura, when you talk about equity, you talk about a redistribution of power. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? What is that about?
So thanks, Julie. You know, what that's about is looking at the current structure and seeing where the diversity is and where the diversity is not. And so a lot of this work really lives in these moments of really thinking about, are we able to lean in to redistribute power? I think of diversity, equity, inclusion, and particularly equity as not as convincing somebody to hire at diverse bodies, but really thinking about how can we redistribute our power to have more diverse bodies at the table. And not only at the table, but, you know, inclusion and equity really speaks to advancement and retention. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about redistribution of power, there's a moment of sort of reckoning that we have to sit with and think about, you know, am I really open to moving myself and giving up some of the privilege that I have to share space, right? Inclusion is about sharing space. How can I open up my firm? How can I open up my organization to share space with people that look similar to me, look different from me, bring different ideas to the table? And that to me is a vision of equity because it's really about belonging, it's about inclusion, it's about how do I also bring diverse bodies to the table, but also think about how I'm going to advance them and how I'm going to retain them. And that involves sort of, as you started with, this redistribution of power and an internal reckoning of thinking about where can I lean in to share my power to foster inclusion, which leads to advancement and retention.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about this personal reckoning that needs to happen. Can you talk more about that? Because, you know, you say this has to happen first personally and then within the firm. So when you say that, what do you mean personally?
So I appreciate the question. And I think in this work, what I've seen is that it's easy to look at metrics and look at stats, but it's more difficult to sit with ourselves and understand how we may or we may not have been complicit in systemic racism, right? And so I think we know this country is founded on a history of slavery and inequity and oppression in a lot of spaces. And so are we taking those times not just to look at stats and diversify, but really sitting with ourselves and what I call those quiet moments of racial accountability and understanding sort of how we have advanced diversity in our own lives? You know, who's our community around us? Who are our friends? What books are we reading? What podcasts are we listening to? What Netflix shows are we watching? And in those moments, are we bringing in that diversity and that difference into our lives and sitting and struggling with what we are challenged by? Right. And so I really think what those quiet moments to me are places of self-compassion to understand where we haven't done so well and then to do better, all under the lens of inclusion and compassion and generosity for ourselves and others.
Just love the way she put that together. Just love it.
Gio, what are some of the biggest pitfalls and challenges that law firms face as they, so you go through this personal reckoning process, right? You start individually with yourselves, and then you bring that into your firm as law firm leadership. And as marketers who are a part of this law firm leadership, how do we, you know, what are some of the biggest pitfalls and challenges that we then face as we start to create and deploy or now completely revamp these DEI programs?
Well, one area that I'm seeing is really getting to the root of what is the issue we're trying to solve personally within our firms. I think that there's oftentimes you'll see diversity and inclusion, kind of the label slapped on, and it can also be random acts of DEI rather than a strategic focus on how you're trying to really move the needle in your organization. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges is how do you wrap your arms around that? And how do you get really, you know, one, of course, you want to get into the data. You want to understand where you are as a firm and where the points that were just made about personal accountability. Now let's bring those into the professional world. Do we have moments of accountability where we can sit and reflect on what we're doing and what we haven't done well? Are we being transparent with ourselves and saying, you know what, I did that didn't work? Or are we leaning into our DEI experts and, you know, giving them a voice? And as legal marketers, how are we being advocates? Do we know the strategy? If there isn't a strategy, is what can we do in our spaces? You know, can we partner with our DEI experts in the firms when we have them and help be an additional voice for them to bring these challenges to mind and also solutions, potential solutions to mind? Oftentimes, well, I won't say often, but what I'm seeing is that perhaps the collective voice will obviously sing louder in the room. And how can we get more collective voices into the conversation to move that conversation to action? So it doesn't get stuck in just, oh man, that was a really good conversation. Okay, now what? And I think if you go back to the strategy, right, of what we're trying to accomplish, now you can set actual metrics, actual focuses that you can keep yourself accountable to, that you can be transparent about what you did and what you didn't do, and that everybody has a role to play in this, because DEI does not live with just the DEI expert. DEI lives within all of us as legal marketers, as those across different operational groups within the attorneys, and all raising the collective voice and making that change.
Julie, if I could just highlight, Gia, I just love what you said, because what I took away from that was the power of relationship building. Relationship building across firms, across organizations. And at Cost and Consulting, that's one of the things that we are really good at, is building relationships within the organization. And one of the first things we think about is the listening tour, right? Listening to different people's experiencing, letting us help you understand what you need and building those relationships, as Gia just highlighted.
The listening part is really important. Mm-hmm. It's listening to understand, not listening to respond. That true, authentic listening where you're holding that space to have honest conversations. And I think that's when the walls start coming down. that's when we see each other, you know, in our humanizing glory, so to speak, you know, where we can really find those connection points and can be where you root authenticity around what it is that you're trying to accomplish.
I want to unpack this a little bit more because both of you, what you're saying is so powerful. Gia, you were talking about DEI as not being random acts of DEI. This is not just randomly, we're gonna throw in a little sprinkle here and a little something there. Mm-hmm. These are not token acts. This is very intentional. We are looking at a bigger picture problem and how are we solving this issue and really integrating, fully integrating. And Laura, you talked about the relationship building. And I want to come to that and have you talk about that a little bit more as well. Because one thing that I know you talk about is this idea of accountability, but this empathetic accountability. And I think that especially when we are legal marketers and we know our role within the firm, we're not the attorneys, we're not the partners that are, you know, that are guiding all of these decisions, but we're a part of that. We play a role in that. And so the role of the accountability buddy, I think, is sometimes one of the really difficult roles that marketers step into. But you have this concept of empathetic accountability. Can you talk about that? Because I think that could be key here in helping a lot of marketers move this conversation into action.
Sure. I think accountability gets a bad rap. I mean, if you think about your own personal lives, those people that hold you accountable to be the best that you can be are the people that love you the most, right? And I think in the culture that we live in, accountability is seen as a calling out. It's seen as something negative. But if we change our perspective and to think about accountability as generosity, and then if you throw on the empathetic accountability, and you think of that phrase as being able to hold people accountable in the most compassionate ways. Because ultimately, I see the goal of diversity, equity, inclusion work as being able to create a culture where everybody is empathetically accountable to everybody else. So when something happens, because as Gia said, you know, it's not sort of like those one-off trainings that work. It's not sort of these like acts. It's also those moments in a meeting when somebody talks over somebody, you know, those moments when somebody feels excluded from going to lunch, those moments when folks of color are sitting in a meeting and they're hesitant to raise their hand because they're not sure they're going to be taken seriously, right? Those moments. And if we could be in a culture where you could turn to somebody in that moment, I call it like, I use the metaphor of a ringing of a bell, like you're in the meeting and somebody rings sort of this like Buddhist bell and is like, wait a minute, pause. That just didn't land right, or I was speaking, please let me finish my sentence, right? Those moments, and they were seen as acts of generosity in a way to make the organization a kinder, more compassionate place. I think we'd be able to build the community we could build in order to truly live under the umbrella of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
There is power in the words you just said. What a transformation. I mean, I feel that in what you're saying. Accountability is a gift. Imagine if all of us sitting in the boardroom with our law firm leadership, if we felt like we were giving a gift by raising our hand and speaking up. That's a huge transformation. And Gia, you're nodding. You're like, yes.
Yes.
And we've talked, ladies, you know, hiring people of color or having a diverse, or as we're doing a proposal, a pitch, and we have a diverse group of attorneys that are included in that pitch. That's just one step in this mm-hmm. process. And in fact, it's probably the easiest of all of the steps that we have to take. Many firms, most firms, I would say, are doing that, but that is far from enough. So Gia, I'm going to come back to you. What we have to lay this plan for inclusion and equality, because the goal here is that DEI someday doesn't exist, right? This is just our new normal. It's the culture. So how do we start laying that foundation for the steps that come next after hiring, after the pitch? What are some action items that we need to start looking at taking for our firms?
So I'll answer that in a micro and a macro level. On a macro level, let's set a strategy. Let's get everybody together and set a strategy. If you have a DEI expert, more than likely there's a strategy already, and perhaps an additional, going to my point, the additional voice to make it be known, you know, what those goals are and how we can contribute can be one. on a very micro level, when you speak to pitches, how many of us, and many law firms may be doing this, and kudos to them, are seeing that pitch through to make sure that those diverse attorneys that were put on that are actually getting the work, and how much are getting the work. Now, there are some clients that require that you report that, but not all of them do. And we want to also think about that, like, where did these companies come from? Where are they? Are we sharing, you know, credit appropriately? Are we thinking about how that credit, how that participation in that pitch goes to their path of, you know, are we passing along that information perhaps to the professional development committee or the executive committees that are making the decisions on leadership and are making the decisions on promotions? And so, you know, we want to make sure that we're being that additional advocate. Also, and that's external, but let's also think about internal and building our own legal marketing teams. How are we thinking about this empathetic leadership, you know, for ourselves in building our team? How are we thinking about best practices and actually walking the talk? So I think that's important. But, you know, from the legal marketing standpoint, I think there's a lot of wonderful things. And one big piece that I know, you know, as far as LMA is concerned, that we're looking at is how everybody can be an advocate in their particular role. I think there's a misconception that you have to be at the head to impact change. Absolutely not. You know, everybody is a leader. Everybody is a leader. And whether you are controlling our social media and we're making sure that our messaging is in alignment with our values and our statements and what we believe, and we're showing our authenticity there, if we're focused on RFPs and pitches and business development, how is that communicated? And how are we making sure, again, that we're tracking that because we are close to clients? And also, how do we ensure that the conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion are a part of the discussions with our clients? Because there is no handbook to this. There's no perfect way, at least I don't know. And if someone has that handbook, please send it to me. But if, you know, for what I know, there's not a handbook yet created. And so let's partner together. Collectively, going back to the collective voice, we can move the needle much faster. And so, you know, when we're asking in client feedback interviews about their strategic goals, is diversity, equity, and inclusion important? Are we asking them feedback about all the attorneys they've talked to, not just the head attorneys, so that way it can help, you know, some attorneys and leaders rise? And so those are a couple of things that I think we can be doing right now to start impacting that change and moving into an action-oriented process.
Laura, how can we as legal marketing professionals start to have some of those conversations? How do we advocate for and create that inclusive culture? Because I also know at some point, even those of us with the best of intentions are bound to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. And so what I want to make sure doesn't happen is that fear doesn't prevent us from actually starting the process in the first place. So talk us through, you know, what are some of the conversation starters, or how do we start moving this forward?
So I think there's something to be said about falling into the false dichotomy of right and wrong here. An acceptance that you will get it wrong, in the sense that you will probably say something that doesn't sit with somebody in the right way. And are you brave enough and have enough humility to accept that you can hear feedback from somebody else? I think bravery and courage, you know, I often say when you have, sometimes we hold these forums in the beginning of meeting with an organization, with the leadership team, and we ask them to talk about their hopes and challenges in this moment of thinking and working through DEI. And one of the things we always start with is that these are brave spaces, and they have to be named brave spaces. They can't be assumed to be safe, because I think that is a misnomer, but they can be brave spaces. So show up in this brave space and be brave to contribute where you are at in this process, because we don't know, right? The other thing I would say is, as Gia said, just emphasizing, lean into the people that are doing this work, lean into the people that live this work, lean into them for relationship building. I am a huge advocate of leadership executive coaching, because I think there's something really powerful in that one-on-one relationship outside of the organization, where leaders can really sort of take off their veil of leadership and connect with a coach on an independent level. Educate yourself. And I think that, you know, one of the most important things in all of this work is being able to speak truth to power and also just speak. I think that there's a lot of times when I sit in these forums with folks and there's a lot of silence, and I use humor as a way to say, okay, well, we can sit in silence for a really long time, but that's a waste of time, and time is so precious. So who can be the first one to be brave and step forward and talk about what you're challenged about in DEI? Where is the opportunity in this for your firm? And then people sort of feed off of each other. But I think the courage piece of this and really being able to lean into those relationships and work with a consultant or to work with the DEI experts in this way is really important. Understanding that, you know, it's counter leadership culture, and in traditional leadership culture, there's a know-it-all way. There's a lack of humility. You're talking about people that are incredibly successful that are now trying to learn something new. That's incredibly intimidating. So I would, you know, sort of end all of this with self-compassion for yourself and self-compassion for others that are beginning in the middle and in a place of action on this journey.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so important. Giving grace.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, you know, Julie, we're talking about all of this in the context of COVID-19 and all there is there, right? Which I identify as a moment of trauma for this entire nation, right? And the world, really. So how do we make these spaces as nurturing and compassionate and sincere as we can as a leader in this moment, through mindfulness, through intentionality, through understanding nuance, and through being brave?
And certainly there's so much that we could continue to talk through. This is only the start of the conversation. And I know in our Strategies Live podcast, we'll have more coming in our next podcast. Before we wrap up here, I want to give both of you the opportunity, if there's one final message that you want to share with our audience, keeping in mind that we have legal marketing professionals who are at various stages of working with their law firm leadership on DEI initiatives. What's one final parting thought that you have for our audience? Gia, let's start with you.
I was gonna say, let's wrap up with Laura because she drops all these gems. I would say for me, let's move conversation into action. Whatever that action may be, whatever you can do, whatever your organization can do, let's move from conversation to action and do so, like Laura just said, in, you know, with grace and being brave, and recognizing that diversity means a lot of different things. I know right now we've talked about race and gender primarily, but remember, we want to be as inclusive. And I think that's why it's so important to transition into the inclusive nature. So everyone is included in this conversation. This is not just for some people, this is for all people. And I challenge everyone to find their action steps that they can do and give themselves grace while doing it.
And I think mine would be that, you know, the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion is a beautiful process. It's not a blaming process. And I think there's something, I think there's that rhetoric needs to be unpacked a little. So what I would like to leave folks with is, you know, so much of this work is about finding the good that you already do and having people help you highlight that. We work with a lot of organizations that are already working from an inclusive lens. They just haven't named it inclusivity. Mm. So find what you're doing good while also understanding that there are gaps, because there always will be, whether it means that, you know, your organization has gotten larger recently, or there's been layoffs from COVID, or there's just been transitions, that we can't do everything. So this is really a moment of thinking about and reflecting on how you can dig in to do better for your firm, for your organization, for yourself as a leader. And so again, just really highlighting that this process can be just such an empowering moment of transformational change for people on a personal level and for the firm and for the organization. So it's multi-pronged, right? And that's what makes this work so incredible, is that there's personal transformation and there's professional transformation all in one. And so I really encourage folks to sort of lean into that and not think of it as sort of where, you know, a punitive space, but actually as a place of growth and healing and transformation.
growth and healing, something that we're all going through right now and can certainly use on this conversation. Dr. Laura Quiros and Gia Altrecci, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Strategies Live. And thanks to you for listening. Please be sure to read the September-October issue of Strategies Magazine. You can also check out other Strategies podcasts and the Strategies blog on a variety of topics related to legal marketing. That's all at legalmarketing.org. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
That concludes another installment of the LMA podcast. To discover all that LMA has to offer, visit legalmarketing.org. For links to content featured in this episode, please check out the show notes. If you like the podcast and want to help others find us, we hope you'll take the time to subscribe to it and rate us on iTunes. Thank you and have a great day.